Get ready for a podcast from Te Reo Irirangi Kotahi.
I'm now joined by old mate, Troy Kingi. How are we doing this morning, Troy?
Doing very well, mate. Doing very well.
Hell yeah. What's the weather like up in Kirikiri? Kirikiri, correct?
Yeah, it's overcast, but it's not too cold, which is good.
Sweet as. Glad to hear. It's not really similar here. It's a little bit cold, but also like not that cold for Dunedin, so it's kind of warm. It's weird. It's almost paradoxical in a way. we're here talking about your new tour and the upcoming album, which is Leather Man and the Mojave Green. It's going to be very, very awesome. So we'll kick this off with your 10-10-10 project. You've had this project for the last few years. You've got a project of releasing 10 albums and 10 genres over 10 years. You're now over halfway. You've got new album number 8. How's it going? How are you feeling? Are you feeling quite burnt out? How are you feeling?
I'm feeling pretty good. I'm especially excited for this album to get out. I've been sitting on the finished album for like 5 months, I'd say. So I'm keen for everyone to hear it, and also keen to get out on the road and play it. But we were just talking before, and you're like, what are you up to before the tour? And I'm like, well, actually, I'm trying to sort out album number 9 at the moment. So it is a massive ask to do 10 albums in 10 years and 10 genres, but oh well, we're at the tail end of it, so just gotta keep plowing on.
Yeah, you won't have to worry about it too much more. I heard that after you're finished with this, you're just gonna retire and become a gardener.
That's true.
It's a good plan.
I'll retire as Troy Kingi the artist, but doesn't mean I'm finishing as an artist or musician writing. I'll probably write. I'm hoping to write another 200, 300 albums with people out there. So still going to be plenty more music coming out of me.
You could do the 2010 project. We do 20 albums. What is album number 9 going to sound like? Are you going for more sounds from your youth, perhaps, or something a bit different?
This next album is a hip-hop album. So I'm trying to do something in the vein of the Glorious Game album that Black Thought did last year with Al Michaels Affair. But so no means am I going to be rapping, but I'm just going to be producing this album. And I've asked a lot of amazing artists that I admire, and I've been enjoying their music, if they want to be part of the project, and they've all come back to me and said yes. So I'm not going to name anyone, you're just going to have to wait.
Awesome. Can we see Drake on there?
Maybe. But I'd say, but I'm Team Kendrick all the way, so yeah, probably
same.
Not.
Same. speaking of hip-hop, you've probably seen this video before. There's a great video of someone like getting Lil Wayne to write a series of bars, and there's a point in the video where the interviewer gives him one of Lil Wayne's own lyrics, and Lil Wayne's like, that's great, who did that? And then the interviewer's like, oh, you did. And he's like, oh, shit. Lil Wayne has forgotten some of the songs he's made. You've made dozens and dozens and dozens consecutively over the last maybe 8 years. How do you remember all your songs?
That's a good question. I don't, actually. Like, I'll go into a show and I'll be like, why don't we play that song that we haven't played in ages? And I won't practice it. Get on stage and I'm like, oh, shit. I should have practiced this. Where's all the lyrics gone? They've completely gone out of my head. So it just depends on if we're touring or if we're playing certain songs. Then I actually got to go back and practice like every other person.
Yeah, do your homework. The upcoming album is titled Leather Man in the Mojave Green, and finds you going back to your Mojave rock roots with inspiration coming from bands like, you know, Caius, Queens of the Stone Age, and Eagles of Death Metal. Looking back on those three, how would you rank them?
Queens of the Stone Age, hands down, my best band, my favorite band of all time. I also had a big Eagles of Death Metal phase, only because of Josh, you know. Anything he touched, I was just into it. So I'd have to be Queens, Eagles, and Caius. Like, I do love parts of Caius, but there's parts of it that I'm just like, oh, gotta change them. So I'll do it in that order.
Mm-hmm. I'm in agreement with you on Caius. I think the singer is not. They should have replaced the singer. But the music.
He's good. He's good. It's just the actual songs. Like there's a song, "Our Rodeo." It's a damn good song. But then it goes into the big grudgy vibe at the end of it, and I'm just like, oh. The first part of it is gangster, but then it drops into something that I'm just like, oh yeah, change songs.
Yeah. Wears off its welcome pretty fast. There's talks of you playing with some huge shows with Mojave, Roxanne's Legends in Vegas and LA. Are you able to talk about these shows much at all?
Well, not really, because they keep changing. So, well, basically, when we're over in Rancho, Dave Ketching, who runs Rancho, who actually was the person who named Queens of the Stone Age, he asked us after day 6 or 7 if we wanted to be part of the Rancho 30 album anniversary, and he's got a lot of artists that have worked in there to collaborate with him and write a song. So we ended up writing a song as well, and then he asked us if we wanted to come for the launch of it, and Queens will be there, Dave Grohl will be there. And I'm just like, hell yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be very freaking exciting. Amazing.
Yeah.
That's so sick. Speaking more about the inspiration for this new album, you went to Joshua Tree in the hopes that you could overcome your creative block. Is there anywhere else in the world that would unlock new creative potential for you in a similar way?
It's a good question. I suppose environments I've never been in. That's probably the most inspiring thing I got from there was I just felt like I was on an alien planet in that desert. Maybe somewhere like Japan or somewhere freaky where just different culture and something that's just fresh that I've never really experienced. That I'll definitely get the same buzz, I reckon. Mm-hmm.
Maybe you can make a J-pop album that could be the one that finishes off the 10
albums. Man. One of my daughters is hard out into K-pop. I'm like, oh, come on, please.
Is this the same daughter who in your docuseries Troy Kingy's Desert Hikoi, who asks you to watch Barbie with her when you come back to New Zealand?
No. It's the one that's a little older than her. But we did go and watch Barbie when we got back, yes.
Thoughts? You like Barbie?
I didn't like Barbie, but I didn't mind the film. I'm a real big Ryan Gosling fan, so
yeah, same.
It was cool to see him play a bit of an idiot in there.
Yeah. You could be Troy Kingy, like Ken. You could do that.
True.
Touching back on that docuseries, Troy Kingy's Desert Hikoi, you chat with Serge Tankian from System of a Down. Did you also have quite a passionate like new metal phase in your youth?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, like Korn, Limp Bizkit.
I really did. I'm a bit ashamed. Oh, actually, nah. I did listen to Limp Bizkit back in my youth, and then it went on to Linkin Park and all of those same things. But System of a Down, man. Mm. I did have a big system when I remember watching Chop Suey for the first time and on the music video when it first came out. I was like, oh shit. And we didn't have anywhere to buy albums out here, so I was like, Mum, when you go to Whangarei, can you get me this album, the Toxicity album, when she brought it back, and I played it. It was a lot heavier than I thought because I'd never heard any of the other songs, and then I got into it, and that was the same thing I had when I got Songs for the Deaf. You know, all we heard was No One Knows, and then you get the other stuff and you hear Millionaire and you hear Nick Oliveri screaming, and at the beginning it was too much, but then it became my favorite album of all time. So
hell yeah.
I feel like sometimes the best things come out of being scared of it initially. But I did have a massive system phase, so it was amazing to sit down with Serge, and they only showed a snippet of it. He's an amazing intellect, and we had a real cool conversation. Mm-hmm. Danny really touched on it in the doco, but yeah, he talked about some really cool stuff.
I think a big thing I respect System of a Down for is being so politically onto it back in the day. Yeah. Like a song like Boom That was incredible for that time, you know?
Yeah, the super political. I think what drew me to him more was the quirkiness. Like, he had a real carnival style on this, on Met, you know, I'd never heard it before. Mm-hmm. It just made it slightly comedic. And he even talks about that sort of stuff. So that's what he was going for, trying to make it silly in a way. And yet you got all these dudes with tats and like black shirts at the concerts, just like, rah!
Yeah. The dude with like the goatee that's never ending and he's never wearing a shirt and he's bald. He's terrifying.
Yeah, I know.
Gollum if he was a metal rocker, right? So your tour, your upcoming tour, nationwide tour, you're coming to Otipoti on the 13th, Friday the 13th of September.
Ooh
spooky.
Dress up for that one.
Hell yeah. You have any costumes in mind? You gonna dress as a goblin or a ghoul?
Gotta find something that's easy to perform in. Maybe vampire without the teeth, or I just draw the teeth on my face.
Yo.
Or something like that. I'm gonna have to tell everyone in Dunedin to dress up for that one. We gotta.
For sure. I'm pretty sure they'll respect it. So you're playing at Eric's on Friday the 13th of September. When was the last time you played in Otipoti?
Man, to be honest, I don't think. Oh no. It was probably a couple of years ago. Maybe 3 years ago, during my folk tour of Delaney. So we were at what's the smaller one? Oh, Gilderoy.
Oh, the Glenroy Auditorium.
Oh, Glenroy. That's yeah. So we were there 3 years ago. But as far as like bands, like full bands rocking out, or I don't think I've ever done that. So I'm really looking forward to it, man. We always like, oh, should we go to Dunedin? It's so far. Like, we got to get to Dunedin, man.
Yeah, man, show us some love.
Yeah, I know.
We appreciate it. Are you going to be playing exclusively the new stuff from your new album, or is it a bit of everything?
Mostly the new album, but we want to try and rockify a few of my well-known songs, and I even asked my audience for a few covers. Warpigs keep coming up, so I have to drop in a couple covers in there as well.
I'm very excited. I'm definitely going to come through and see the show. But I think that's all the time we have this morning for you. So thank you so much for coming on the show this morning, Troy. It's been lovely chatting to you.
Yeah, appreciate it, bro. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Enjoy the rest of your day.
Choice, man.
Take care. Alrighty, that was Troy Kingi, Aotearoa's own Troy Kingi, talking about his upcoming album, Leatherman and the Mojave Green. It's going to be very exciting. He's playing here Friday the 13th September. Very, very cool at Eric's. It's 9:45 now on the Breakfast Program on Radio 1. I say we play Silicon Booby Trap, which is Troy's latest single from the new album. And also, I love the wordplay on that song. It's incredible. Here is Silicon Booby Trap, Troy Kingi. I'm having a corridor with Natasha Griffiths at 10 about AMP 2024. It's going to be great. It's going to be great, people.
You've chosen the Radio 1 91 FM podcast, a fine choice indeed. You can find more of them at r1.co.nz and wherever quality podcasts hang out.